So in today's gospel, we have Jesus the carpenter beginning to build his church. This is what he's come to do, the church we all belong to. It has a divine origin, which is why the gates of hell itself will not prevail against this church. As messy as things can get, we have this divine origin, or so we believe. This is our faith. And in the process of doing so, the carpenter from Nazareth is building up his church, which is not made with brick and mortar, but with us. The bricks, you might say, of the church are men and women, human beings. And in the process of doing that, he assigns a leader, Simon, son of Jonah. And today, in the gospel, Jesus changes his name from Simon to Peter. And Peter, in the Latin, Petra, means rock. And so Jesus changes Simon, who is the son of Jonah, to have now the name Peter, which is rock, upon which Jesus is going to build his church. Now, Peter, we know, is a weak human being. The Gospels make, they don't try to cover over that weakness. Because it's essential that we understand that the foundation upon which Jesus is building his church is not Peter in his weakness as a human being, but his faith. That's what renders Peter the rock. We all were baptized into the faith of Peter, which is, in the gospel today, given to us. And what was that faith? Faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means at the heart of our faith, at the very foundation of the church, is this faith that Peter professes, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. This man standing in front of them is the God who happened to have formed them in their mother's wombs. He happens to be the God who formed and shaped and created this entire universe that our scientific instruments can't even measure because it's so immense. That this man standing in front of them is that God. And that's at the heart of the Catholic faith. I could be, as a priest standing before you, an unbeliever, and I can look very Catholic because I wear these beautiful vestments, I have this beautiful alb on, and I can really look the part well. But if I haven't the faith within me that testifies to this truth that Jesus, this carpenter from an insignificant town in Nazareth, was indeed the Son of the living God, all this stuff, it means nothing. I'm playing a charade. It's empty show. And that's because my lack of faith has gutted the Catholic life for me. Now, and if you think that's not possible, by the way, I just so happened when I was in the seminary in the early 80s, there were two of my professors over my 5 years studying in seminary that I found out didn't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, that once he was dead, that was it. Now see, that guts the Catholic life because there is no faith at that point. But we have to really appreciate when the Gospels come to Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Jesus himself taught this. But he didn't teach it only because he had the idea about himself. He's like this megalomaniac. Oh, I'm God, you know, like this. He was this super narcissistic creature who was just all about himself and saying, everybody, unless you follow me, you can't go anywhere and you're going to just die in your sins. And I'm just so important that you better start heeding me and all this kind of thing. It's all about me. No, that's not what it is. I mean, the cross proves that. He's not doing this for himself. He's doing this for us. He's not about himself in that sort of self-centered, autocentric way. No. He's teaching us from what he hears from the Father. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father himself testified to this truth in the life of Christ and was confirmed in Jesus' own self-knowledge. He knew he was the Son of the living God. The question was, will others find out? And there's no way to find out by flesh and blood. Our material eyes can look at this man from Nazareth and see only a man. That's what happened with the Jewish leaders on Good Friday. You who are only a man are making yourself out to be God, and you deserve death for that blasphemy. And they put him to death. They crucified him. They didn't have faith. Because faith believes in what we don't see. So what do I see on this altar? Well, I see a piece of bread, and it's a rather not a very good rendition of bread, really. It's just a little wafer there. That's all I see with my material eyes. But see, what faith discerns is what we don't see. That's what the faith is about. Faith discerns what we don't see in the bread and in the wine, which is the Son of the living God come from the bosom of the Father to our altar and into your heart to be with you in all the details of your life, whatever they are. Now, that takes faith to believe. Some people might say it. I mean, some Catholics do say it. God doesn't enter into my life very much. Yet they're still going to Mass every Sunday. Maybe they're going to confession every once in a while. But as soon as I leave this church, I'm kind of on my own until next week. Because he's not really there. Well, see, that's a weakened faith. God is about a work in each one of you here by your baptism. We heard about that in the second reading. Paul praying that may God, who began the work in you, now bring it to completion, which is bring you to glory, just like Jesus was brought to glory from death. But if I don't have the faith to hear the Spirit of the living God at work within my life, how can I possibly follow him? Let me just reiterate again, it's quite remarkable, really, when you think that the God who created this entire universe is coming from the bosom of the Father to be on our altar here so he can enter into your life in all of its details. That means your hairs are counted, yeah, all that. He knows all that. He's like into details, but he's not a tyrant who micromanages, but inspires and seeks to enroll us in the work of salvation. That's what he's doing. We can't do it without him, and he won't do it without us. He won't do it without us. That's what establishes us in a faith relationship with a God we don't see, but who nonetheless has given us signs by which we can know him. He's in that tabernacle right there. You know, if you think back to Peter and his profession of faith right after this in this gospel, a good day, a great day, like all this stuff, like, oh my God, listen to this. Peter, Simon, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter, and you're rock. I'm going to build my church on this rock, Peter, that you have just professed, because my Father has finally let you in on who I am and my identity. You don't get that from book knowledge. No, you get that from revelation. This is who I am. And Peter heard it, and he testified to it. And then Peter, as we know, right after this, tried to dissuade Jesus from going to Jerusalem. And we know what Jesus said: "Get behind me, Satan." So a good day got turned into a really bad day, and all in the same day. And then when you think back to Holy Thursday night, there's Jesus in the garden. Peter, having just professed, "I'll never abandon you." They all abandoned him when he was arrested. And then he goes to the cross, and there's just a handful of people there, still maintaining faith. The Blessed Mother, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene, and John recovered his faith to get to the foot of the cross, because we know that because Jesus gave Mary to John and, "Behold your son, behold your mother." Four people at the foot of the cross, the beginning of the Catholic Church. Four people maintaining faith. On Saturday, after Jesus died and was now in the tomb, it's over. It's over. We thought he was going to be the Messiah. We thought he was going to be it, but we were wrong. One of the 12 had by this time committed suicide, and the other 11 are all hiding away in the city of Jerusalem in an upper room, scared to death that they're the next ones to be killed. Jesus spent 3 years working with these people, and that's what it all came to on Saturday, the day after he was crucified. It's over. One of our guys committed suicide last night, and we're all held up, 11 of us, scared to death we're next, locking the doors. That's pretty bleak. That's the beginning of our church. And you say to yourself, what possibly turned that around that within 10 days, Peter would be out in the temple publicly associating himself with a name just 10 days earlier he wanted nothing to do with, Jesus. What turned that around? What possibly turned that around? From one of their brothers committing suicide, their leader in the grave, and they're scared to death they're next. What could have possibly done it? Do you really believe for any moment that they turned that around themselves? That they would have all of a sudden come to this conviction that this man who, when alive, couldn't protect himself, is, now that he's dead, going to protect us? So yeah, let's get out in the public and profess his name. That's utterly absurd. There was no cause or reason for them at all to step out of that upper room, except one. This man, who was dead, came back to them from the grave, alive, without a shadow of death in him. That, my brothers and sisters, is what we believe in. That's our faith. We don't see that. Blessed are those who believe and yet haven't seen Thomas. That's us. That's us. We encounter him. And we only understand that through faith. You don't go to school to learn that. These were all uneducated fishermen. They didn't go to school. They weren't members of the great academy in Jerusalem where all the Jewish scribes and Pharisees were educated. They didn't go to school to learn this. No, they learned it from a man who was dead and was now alive. That's what turned it around. That's what turned it around. Because God raised this man from the dead. And he's promising us the same. You don't see that right now. Who we will later be will be revealed. But you look at me, I mean, last time I checked, I lost my six-pack abs. I've talked about this. I probably lost some hair in the shower this morning. I'm getting older, getting a little more creaky as I get up every time from my seat at the desk. It's kind of fading. Doesn't look too good. Kind of like Saturday morning after the crucifixion. Didn't look too good. Until this man came back from the dead. And by the way, that man is coming back to you, every one of you, from the dead in this Eucharist this morning. It's the same Christ. He's coming to every single one of you here in this church this morning. And he's about to work in your life, in all the details of your life. Its burdens, its challenges, its struggles. But it's only by faith you're ever going to be able to recognize him. And get on board with what he's trying to do, which is bring you, what, worldly riches? A whole lot of popularity out there in the world? Status, power? No, none of that. But will you settle for life eternal? I mean, will you settle for that? Is that okay if you have that? Because that's the work he's about in your life through the baptism you received as a Catholic, and it's through our faith that we perceive that we acknowledge that. And you can look Catholic and do all kinds of Catholic things, but if you don't have that, your Catholic life is gutted of any of its significance. It means nothing. It's an empty show. And it generally allows you to start altering our religion to what you want it to be. But there's no religion you ever found that will save you. Only this one will, which is founded by the divine Son of the living God, Jesus Christ. That one, not even the gates of hell, will prevail against it. And it's our faith that delivers that to us. And it's the work of God in your life. Every single one of you here, none of you is left out. It's that work in your life that we're all attempting to cooperate with, myself included. We're in this together. So today, brothers and sisters, pray for the gift of that faith. I've been praying for over 20 years for the increase in that faith. It's a gift. It's the eyes to see the living God at work in your life, bringing you to glory.